Hi everyone, this is Jen Ackerman. Welcome to California Dreaming, a new podcast with me and my beautiful, amazing, gorgeous husband, Tom Payne, who unfortunately is not next to me at the moment because he is in New York City. Yes, lots have been going on the last couple of weeks. We just welcomed two identical twins into the family on April 1st, and of course, Tom got a job offer the exact same day. But besides the madness, we are very excited and can't wait to share the very unique birth, which was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, but also the shock and life changes that we are currently going through. Meanwhile, we've got two pre-recorded episodes for you guys, and honestly, this first is my favorite, where you got to hear when we found out we were having two at the same time. So how are we going to manage careers, finances, and three kids in the Hollywood Hills? I have no idea. But let's see what happens. This is California Dreaming. I keep saying that.
The moment of conception, you knew?
Yeah. Not that it was twins, but I was just like, shit. I don't know. I had a feeling of like, we did something.
So, here we are, a few weeks before we are expecting twins.
But wait, who are you?
I'm the father.
Oh my god, I just did. I watched too much Peppa Pig.
No, but at this point, everyone knows, don't they? No, I have to introduce myself.
I would introduce yourself.
Okay, my name's Tom Payne.
Thomas.
Thomas, on my birth certificate and my passport. I married Jennifer Ackerman. A couple of years ago, but we've been together for about 10, 11 years at this point. And we have one son named Harrison, who we love very much. And we're expecting again. And we thought it was going to be a very easy journey to the second child. And, oh, this is going to be nice. We'll be this cute little family. And then we discovered that we were having twins.
Twins!
Who am I?
The mother.
Exactly. Jennifer.
Jennifer's having the twins.
I'm carrying the twins.
Carrying the twins. So that changed our perspective on pretty much everything. And we never expected it because twins don't run in either of our families. And we didn't really know anything about twins. And everyone we talk to about twins is like, oh, do they run in your families? And then we go, no, these type of twins can happen to anyone. So beware.
What twins are they?
We're having identical twins. Which is wild and is going to be a very unique journey for our whole family, which I'm really excited for.
And we were extremely shocked.
Yeah, we were extremely
shocked. But I had been feeling like poop crap. I knew the moment that I think we conceived the second child. I was like, we did something now. I keep saying that.
The moment of conception, you knew?
Yeah. Not that it was twins, but I was just like, shit. I don't know. I had a feeling of like, we did something. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. Why don't we explain why we chose the name California Dreamin' as a podcast name?
Uh-huh, that's a good idea. We went through a bunch of different names thinking about what the podcast could be called. And none of them really worked because it was about like where we lived or like who we were, like, we're European and we're in LA and what does that mean and blah, blah, blah. But you have to come up with something which is quite concise and memorable. And it's a funny thing because I don't, whenever I talk about my hopes and aspirations and where I'm going, like, I don't generally like the word dream because I don't think it is a dream. I think it's like something that you're actually headed towards. But if I think back to when I was younger, it definitely was a dream to be living here. And to have a family and just be happy.
Well, I think that's what we have in common about still living here. We came out here in our 20s, but we're still here because we wanted to live here.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were just going to come out here and be like, oh, I'm going to try to, you know, make music or I'm going to try to be an actor. It was like we wanted the lifestyle of, or we liked the lifestyle and the idea of living here and we are still here.
Yeah, I used to say I lived in London for 8 years after I moved out of home, and it was great, and London's awesome, but it's very expensive, and the weather is shit. And one day, I mean, I always wanted to live in California, but it really was like, I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to be here. There are opportunities for me in Los Angeles and America, and I'm going to take those opportunities rather than stay here and just kind of go to the pub every single day and wallow. Like, it's kind of, it's hard to be an unemployed actor. It's like honestly the hardest thing about being an actor. And if you live in London, you just tend to go to the pub with other unemployed actor friends and talk about being an unemployed actor. And it's not necessarily the most healthy thing. Whereas LA, it's a lot of space and you can't do that in the same way. But what LA also does is it shows you who you are. So you have to engage with LA. It doesn't come to you. And I think we were both good at that. Like, I came here with a job, so I was immediately plugged into working in LA, and I had a friendship group from that. And you came into LA and was out all the time, and you basically went to college to have an excuse to come here and go out.
I think 99% of Swedish people go to SMC to have an excuse to come here. Yeah. Get a student visa, basically. But what I was thinking about when you were saying, when I met you, you didn't say Los Angeles. You said Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
That was one of the first things that I thought was so cute. When you were like, Los Angeles. Because I hadn't really been around Brits in LA, and you hadn't been around any Swedish people in LA. And there are a lot of Brits and there are a lot of Swedes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of both...
But you knew one British guy, but he's from Yorkshire, which is a very different kind of accent.
Right. My first bandmate. And then I went on a date with some really interesting guy from England.
You did?
Yeah, I don't know. We went down to, like, Newport. I remember asking him, what the fuck am I doing here? I don't know. Oh, the funny stories. Yeah, I don't know. What was his name? I don't know. Maybe he'll find this one day and reach out. I can't remember. But anyway, I had an amazing, really, really fun time when I was young here. And I still have a fun time, but it's different now, obviously. We have a different life, but I think that's also kind of what we want to inspire people with the podcast, you know.
Yeah, there's different lives that you can have, you know, in LA, in California, in America.
But still as a parent.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, there are lots of different lives that you can have here.
One of the names that we were talking about as a podcast that I liked was Kids of the Hills. Because, like, we are still, you know, us. You know, when we were both kids when we came here, but now we have kids, but... Anyway, we like the name California Dreamin', and I think that's still something that we do, even though you don't believe in dreams.
Yeah, otherwise you just kind of stop moving and stagnate, and you're just like,
And that's why LA is so amazing, because it is a dream-like city.
Everyone is here on a dream.
Exactly, and you feel that from everybody. It's like, it's a, you never know what's going to happen, who you're going to meet, what's that door's going to do for you, or... that moment, and like, that's what I feel like in Sweden, for example, where I come from. It's just, you kind of know already what your life's going to be.
Yeah. No, there's always possibility here.
Like, exactly.
There's a video that's been going around on Instagram a lot recently of Ryan Gosling talking about the thing and how he loves LA because of that, because it's, you know, people have come from their countries and from their states in America on a dream to make it work and make it happen. Here, let me play it for you.
Was where you are now, was that a goal? Did you have a sense of that? But
that's the best part about Los Angeles. It's filled with all these, like, Don Quixote-type characters. You know, people who have come from... Everyone's left their families, their homes, their friends, their jobs to pursue a dream where they know that the percentage of them achieving that dream is never, and they do it anyway. And everyone has shared the same dream, and no one's sure if it was a premonition or a delusion. And there's only one way to find out.
And yeah, a lot of them go home and it didn't work out, but everyone is here with the same energy of possibility. And the energy of possibility is what always drove me forward. I remember one of my oldest friends, his an ex-girlfriend of his, ridiculed me to my face.
Because he did what?
Ridiculed me.
I'm going to learn so many words.
Yeah, you are.
He ridiculed.
Like ridiculous?
Ridiculed.
Okay, this is going to happen with a lot of my stories because they're very long and Jen's just going to keep stopping me. No, but anyway, I was on a TV show in England for a couple of years where I played a school kid. And I compared myself, and whatever anyone thinks of this, I was like, you know, Johnny Depp was on that show. What was the show that he was on? That Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum did it? Jump Street. Johnny Depp was on that show, Jump Street. And he hated it and he wanted to leave and he ended up leaving and by the way, he got lucky because he was living in LA, the land of possibility, and he went with a friend to an audition and got the job and blah, blah, blah. And those things can happen here. But she was just like, oh, you think you're going to be like Johnny Depp? And I was just like, yeah, don't take that away from me. Don't be a complete and like limit me based off your own limitations.
Is this in England?
Yeah, because you don't believe that it's possible. And I believe anything is possible, especially if you really, truly think that you can get there and believe it. And I mean, my career was a testament to that for a long time. I just kept pushing, believing and moving and it worked, you know. And I really, I don't like it when people talk down about themselves and definitely about other people, because you don't, you know, who are you to say what someone else is capable of?
We are having twins.
Yes, and Jennifer was feeling very sick, so she thought, conventional wisdom says, that that happens with a girl, and Jen hadn't had a girl before, or we'd had a boy, and she didn't feel sick at all, and this time she felt sick. And when we went in and had our meeting, the sonographer...
First of all, I've never heard the word sonographer before.
No, what did they say then? What would you call her?
Ultrasound lady.
Ultrasound lady. That's
where
you get...
ultrasound lady.
That's where she has a degree in. You finish university and you get an ultrasound lady degree.
Anyway, she said...
No, that's not true. It's probably twins. And then I got my phone out and started filming, and I have the whole discovery on camera.
That sounded like this.
Wait, what is that? Is that two?
Yeah.
No, you're joking.
No, I'm not joking.
Are you joking?
No, I will never joke about babies.
Thomas?
So what are you gonna do?
No, but stop. Are you joking with me now?
No, I will never joke about babies.
No. No.
That's my like nervous, high-pitched laugh.
One baby here, one baby here.
Let me slip. Are you joking with me?
No.
Are you joking with me? This is a prank. Are you joking?
No. I'm not joking. I will never joke about babies. Twins. It's twins. Why don't we see? There is no twins. Okay.
Let me slip. Come over some hand there.
No, she's speaking Swedish to you. Okay, one baby is here. You see that baby? Alive? You see the heart beating? And when I go like up here, there's a second friend. Okay, so you're having twins. Don't do that face. You like babies. You're young and healthy.
What? Nobody has ever had twins in our family.
No, me and my family either.
Oh my god, did you like video?
Oh my thing? God, yeah, I did.
Oh my god.
Wait, what?
Fine, you don't have a bad disease, you're having twins, it's okay. You're healthy girl, you carry one baby fine.
So you don't have a bad disease, you're having twins.
Anyway, yeah, that was the moment that we found out on September 18, 2023.
Yeah. And that time since then has really flown by. Because I think on your second pregnancy, even though this is twins, like, you know what the pregnancy is, and you're kind of like, it's not every day like, wow, I'm pregnant, and like, wow, we're having a baby. It's like, yeah, we know what that is. But then every other day I do have a wave of, we're having twins, which is a whole different thing. And we had this little bit of a scare yesterday, which put us in the hospital, and we both got a bit emotional because we realized like, the situation that we were in, and like,
well, that it's real.
It's real,
sometimes
yeah.
Hard when you are pregnant to kind of understand this is really going to happen.
Yeah,
you know, not until it happens. But speaking of the video, so just because I was laying on a bed and you were sitting on a chair and she was, you know, pushing me down to lay down again, because I think she thought I was going to like freak out or faint or like get up, and I don't know. I think she thought I was going to like, I did kind of. I want to say freak out, but I was extremely shocked. And
yeah,
I think
we were both like in visible shock.
Yeah, I've never been so shocked in my life. I don't know why I kept speaking Swedish. I guess I do that when I... Is that something that I do?
Yeah, you do that when you swear a lot.
Oh, when I swear. Yeah, I do.
You know, in moments
What are
of...
the stuff that I say when I swear? Do you know any for all the Swedish listeners?
Yeah, but I know all like the really bad ones.
Anyway, that'll be another episode when you get to know us a little bit more. But so how did you, like, what's your, listening to this now, like, can you remember how you felt?
You're not really, like, I wasn't really present. You know, you're kind of, like, observing. In those kinds of situations where it's, like, like very shocking, surprising stuff that's happening. And it helped, I was kind of videoing it, so I was kind of removed from the situation a little bit because I was seeing it through the video as well. Like, I don't know, you feel like you're kind of standing back from the situation. And, you know, it's like when you have a baby, like you're in that shock of what just happened to you. And I mean, it really, truly was shock. We both went into shock. And for a while afterwards, we walked out of that scanning room just kind of not knowing what to think. And like,
so quiet.
Yeah.
I think it took a while before we looked at each other. We just kind of like kept looking straight.
And then we go, and then from the scan room, you go to see your doctor. So you know that she's going to then walk in and go, aha, okay, this is new. Which is, yeah, funny.
Why are you... You're laughing in the video. That's like a thing you do when you're like a nervous...
Yeah, well, you know, because it annoys you when I laugh in situations where you're scared.
Like dying in a storm in New York and you start laughing. Yeah, and I'm like, why are you laughing? You're about to die.
Yeah, it's a, like a response that I have to stress, I guess, or to high stress situations where I just laugh. Because if I didn't, I'd cry.
California Dreaming Podcast is proudly sponsored by Shepherd of Sweden.
Huh, and what is Shepherd of Sweden?
It is, well, gorgeous, hard and soft wool slippers all the way from Sweden.
They do look very comfortable. I think you've been pretty much wearing them nonstop for the last 9 months, correct?
I've been wearing them every day since I found out that we were having two children at the same time, correct?
And I also had a pair, I say, because as soon as we got them, Jennifer took them and I never know where they are anymore.
No, they're honestly incredible and they have saved me. And you guys should go get some too.
Yes, whether you're pregnant or not, Shepherd of Sweden's soft, high-quality slippers are a must-have. Have. Check them out at shepherdofsweden.com. Maybe let's take it back to 2013 when we met to give the listeners a little bit of an insight into the beginnings of this whole situation.
This situation. You don't think we planned this?
Well, in a way, I kind of did. I didn't plan the twins, but from the very beginning, when I met you, it's not that I planned having children with you, or it's that I knew that I was going to. or maybe I just saw children, I don't know, in and around you and us. And
I have two pretty strong memories. One, when you said, I want to put a baby in you.
When did I say that?
You said it in London.
Oh, but that was like after we were together.
Not very long.
Oh, really?
And then...
Oh, wow, that was forward.
And then you said... That was probably 2014 or 15, the first time we went to England together.
Oh, wow, and it only took me 8 years.
That doesn't make you sound very good. Anyway... And then we were listening to, well, you had listened to a Bryan Adams song.
Mm-hmm.
What song is it?
Is it Heaven?
When a man loves a woman, that's not Bryan Adams.
Tell Me, Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? That one.
Yes, when he says that you can see your unborn
you can,
child or children.
And you can see your unborn child in their eyes. Yeah. I love that song.
Yes, I remember those. Those are really strong memories. Oof, I'm having a contraction. So what happened 2013?
2013, I had just come back to LA and I'd been...
You just turned 30.
I had just turned 30. I had a really sad 30th birthday in London. Well, you know, sad to some people. I had come out of a long, long relationship and I was completely on my own at that point and feeling very alone.
And I was exactly the same. I had left LA. I was living in a suitcase. I was in and out of every city you can kind of imagine and didn't know where I wanted to be and had kind of also find myself feeling lonely. Had definitely not come out of a long relationship because I was not in any long relationships in my 20s. And I was only 24 when we met. And I thought I was the oldest person on the planet. But I feel like we were still... You know, we were similar, but very different.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back. Yeah, so we met in October. I was back in LA, and we both got invited to different parties that were very, very close to each other, literally like across the street from each other. But we both had this mutual friend, and he had invited me to this other party, and you had gone
to the party across the street.
To the party across the street, yeah. But you knew through our mutual friend,
yeah,
like, oh, there's this other party, and I'll go along to that as well,
yeah,
because they're right across the street from each other. And
it's on Melrose.
On Melrose, yeah, and it doesn't exist anymore. It was the Marc Jacobs store on Melrose, which is now, we drove past it the other day.
I think it's Gucci.
Yes, it's Gucci. So, and that's Melrose Place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we actually drove past it the other day, and we thought, oh, we should have like a some kind of party here at some point to celebrate when we first met each other. Because as Jennifer likes to say, sometimes we met there, and there was a moment where we met and we shook each other's hand.
Yeah, we met for the first time.
And said, hi, I'm Tom. Hi, I'm Jennifer.
I was all over the place, and I was going out every night, and I had been out the night before, and I remember having like heavy period, and I did not want to go out, and my friend took me to this party, and then ended up being a really fun night, and I met the love of my life.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really casual, like we, you know, no expectations. It can be quite hard to meet people in LA, especially if you're looking, like I had been on a couple of like internet dates before then, and it's always really weird. And actually it was like kind of around the time the apps were starting, but like I was on, there was used to be a website called plentyoffish.com. And I had gone on that, and there was something else.
That sounds
as well.
More like a porn site than.
Oh my god! It was the early days of that internet dating thing.
Is that for men to find women, or
it's both? Yeah, yeah, obviously, yeah. I, like I went on a date with this girl from there, but it was really awkward. And I went downtown, and we met at a bar, and then like two of her male friends conveniently turned up halfway through. I was like, oh, this is okay. This is so awkward and weird, and I can't do this. And I recognize the fact that lots of people do meet like that now and have amazing relationships, but. I feel like for Jennifer and I, it was like the best circumstance to meet was just at a party and no expectations and just being casual. And basically what happened was, is that we had a really nice evening that night, just like hanging out, just like friends. And then,
well, yeah,
one of them ends up at someone else's house.
Yeah. Come on.
No, but nothing.
Yeah. Well, we mean like we kissed the first night.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but it was like the way that we were, like getting on that night was not like from the beginning.
No, it was very like, European, maybe is the way.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, she's my type or anything. Like you compared me to one of your friends. You're like, oh, you look like this guy I know. And we ended up just having a really nice night. And it was kind of like, kind of teenage in that respect, in that like it was, you know, when you're a teenager and you're just having fun and you're out and then you make out at the end of the night. And it was kind of a fun night, but it was kind of awkward because I made a move on Jennifer at the bar and she kind of pulled away.
No,
and was
the
like,
dance
what are
floor.
You doing?
The dance floor.
I was on the dance floor.
Oh, okay, yeah, the yeah, dance yeah. floor.
On the dance floor. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm trying to kiss you. And you're like, oh, okay.
I'm like, why don't you just say that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we went to the bar and then we kissed more. And then I was like, this, get out of here. Because I had been to that place a lot in my even younger youths in LA.
Yeah, we kind of like lived opposite lives in LA. Like I came to LA with a relationship and a job and like didn't really do the club scene because first of all, going to a club as a 20-something year old guy is not that much fun because... You know, if you don't have any money, if you have loads of money, it's fine. It's a different situation. But like, if you're like a young guy with no money, the club scene in LA isn't super fun. So I would go to like the British pubs and like different, like more casual bars. Whereas Jen was living in LA as like hot young Swedish girl, like with access to all the tables and all the clubs that she wanted to go to. So by the time I met her at 24, she had done all that kind of stuff and was kind of over it. Whereas I was at that time, like, I'm not in a relationship. I'm like, I can do
what I
want.
I'm in the club.
Yeah, I'm in the club. This is cool. And Jen's like, this is so not cool. And I was like, it's fun. I want to have all these experiences that I didn't really have when I first moved to LA.
But it was nice because we were so relaxed with each other. From the beginning, it was like, oh, I have to look pretty for this guy. I was just like, whatever. Not because I wasn't interested. It's just, I don't know. It was just that kind of chemistry that we had.
Neither of us really cared what the other one thought in that sense, I guess. We were just kind of very much who we were. And then found each other through that, I guess, and we have a lot of similarities. And I think if maybe we were the same age, like exactly the same age, it maybe wouldn't have worked out how it did. But because we were the same person, but in different stages of growth, I think it worked out. I think that had something to do with it. Like, we definitely have a lot of the same ambitions and attitudes towards life. And I think LA attracts those kinds of people. But we definitely bonded over being European and being in LA. And
then you put your beanie on and then you start dancing on the dance floor. And I was like, oh, he's pretty cute.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. But then, we're not going to get into this in this episode because it's only the first episode. There are going to be lots of episodes to come. But then we had a break.
Oh, God. We're going to talk
maybe
about that
we should have
episode.
An episode called We Were on a Break.
Yeah, sure. Because actually, I've spoken to other friends who've been in a similar situation and said it's a good thing. And it was
because people are surprised sometimes that we were on a break, that we had a break. Like, oh, you guys are perfect for each other. You know, you're so happy. And for sure, we are now. We're very happy together. But we had a break and it took us like a year to kind of settle our.
A year. Well, we got back together.
I mean, like from the moment that we met.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The break was like about a year.
Well, we met, we met at the right time and we did, but there was still some growth that needed to happen, definitely on my side. But I knew deep down, I was like, I can't mess this up.
No. This is another episode.
Okay.
To be continued, and we were on a break.
When you can see your unborn children.
So one of the things I've been saying is that people ask me, like, how many kids would you want? And I've said, well, you know, if I become a multimillionaire, then maybe we'll have 3 kids and we'll be a family of 5. But I think that's a lot. And like, you know, if you have 3 kids, then you have to have a new car and maybe a new house and all this kind of stuff. So we'll just have one more and then see how things go. And then it's like the universe just went, well, there you go. That's what you wanted, and just deal with that.
Yeah. Honestly, it's absolutely insane. I never thought this would happen.
No, but looking at you now, like, I can't, it's like when you have your first child, you can't really understand it. And even when they're here, you don't really understand it, but you can't really get it until they're actually physically in front of you, because you're still kind of living your life day to day. And, you know, you're doing the couple things that you do and your wife's a bit bigger and you're just, you know, and moving around with a little bit more difficulty. But fundamentally, you're doing kind of the same things. And then suddenly a little person comes into the world who you have to deal with.
Anyway, we are in the situation. There's nothing we can do. 2 more children are going to come to us in 2 weeks, and we are very excited. They're already here. They're telling me all the time. It's kind of nice that they are moving so much, because they're like basically knocking on the door. It's not open yet, but it will be soon.
But we thought this was a really great time to start a podcast. We've been talking about this for a while, and we thought, what better way to start than with the birth of our twins? And to bring you into our lives at a time in our lives which is going to be crazy and full of things to talk about.
Or no time to talk at all.
That's the other thing. Like, we've made a promise to each other that we're going to do this every week. And you will probably get very tired, Tom or Jen. Or maybe just one of us, because the other one's just comatose or feeding 2 children at the same time. But I think that's going to be part of the fun of it. And I think it's going to be... Memorable. And a really nice way for us to document this time in our lives, you know, and for Harrison and for the twins and everything moving forward. I think this is a good way.
Are you done?
Yeah, I talk a lot.
Yes, I know. Anyway, to sum it up, we're scared, we're excited, we're having twins. What are we going to do?
Through it all, we're just going to keep California dreaming.